Stories, fables, ghostly tales. Welcome, lovely listeners. Are you ready for a story? Good. Today I have with me a deliciously warm, rich Earl Grey tea. So good. And a story just as delicious. Today and this week, matter of fact, I'm doing a huge story titled Vilification by Shannon Higdon. In fact, this will probably be the biggest one-story episode I've done to date, I think. There's around 76 pages of pure awesome. So yes, this will be very different. Now, as you may or may not know already, I read every story fresh, and for stories this long, I end up discovering the story with you. So it's going to be fantastic. Not to mention, Shannon Higdon is a brilliant author, so I'm looking forward to this. A quick rundown for this episode's story. A man wakes up in the operating theater, doesn't know how he got there, has a history of extensive drug use that seems to wake up an unforeseen force in him that he may live to regret discovering. So I hope that at least gets you interested. Stay till the end though, because today I'm doing some shoutouts, and I love shoutouts. But fair warning, it is extensive today, because I have a lot of catching up to do. So turn the lights off, the sound up, and get ready for something very different. Vilification by Shannon Higdon. He awoke into an imperceptible brightness. Lights. Many bright lights coming in from all directions and making it impossible to see beyond the glare. The details of the room were blurred into a thick smear, and his initial reaction was to wipe his eyes. He couldn't. Upon discovering the restraints at his wrists and ankles, a shot of panicked adrenaline went surging through his veins, dilating his eyes, and brought the minutiae of the room together quicker. Reflexively, he tried to shake his head in an effort to bring himself to alertness, but that only led to the revelation of the head restraint and more panic. "Where am I?" It was supposed to be a shout, loud and authoritative, a demand for attention. It wasn't. It was such a weak noise, in fact. He wasn't actually certain he had said it afterward. Perhaps it was just a thought. His heart was a jackhammer. There were sharp pains in both arms and his shoulders. Had he been in an accident? With some clarity returned, he could see the lights above him take shape. It was a hospital room, or an operating room. There was a steel surgical tray at the boundary of his vision, slightly above his face, its contents unknown. Now, he could hear people. There was someone else in the room. His doctor? "Why the fuck am I strapped down?" With more strength, he shouted, "Hey!" It was a hoarse whisper, but at least he heard it that time. Two surgically masked men stepped into his limited field of vision. "I'm gonna take off the NBCI. The first one said to the other. "You sure?" "No, but the delirium tremors have passed for now." He pressed a button on the side of the headrest, and the foam restraint slid backwards with a little whirring sound, freeing up his head. He turned to see the two doctors and the rest of the room better. Behind the two men were four other staff members in scrubs and medical hairnets. Two were checking monitors while the other two were working on something he couldn't see, their backs to him. The doctor removed the restraints, held a glass of water with a straw, and helped him to hold his head up and take a sip. The water was warm but still washed the cobwebs away. "Where the hell am I?" The two doctors looked nervously at each other. "Why am I restrained?"
"Mr. Winchester, do you know how you got here?"
said the doctor without the glass, his thick, grey moustache battling to break free from his mask.
Do I look like I know how the hell I got here? I don't even know where here is. Free me, damn it!
Neither of them made movements towards his other restraints, however.
Mr. Winchester,
Mustache Man continued, obviously the one in charge from his demeanor.
You've been in an accident. You've been brought here to the Mandahari Medical Center in Rochester at the behest of your company. We are a very privately owned facility where you will receive the best care at the utmost discretion.
He took special care to emphasize the word very.
We understand that you are an important man, Mr. Winchester, and you do not need to worry about the press here, sir.
The two doctors exchanged another worried look. Everyone else in the room stopped what they were doing and watched as the main doctor spoke.
My name is Dr. Richards, and this is Dr. Patel. The reason you've been restrained is completely for your own protection. I assure you, you've been having extremely violent tremors due to your withdrawal. It is heroin, isn't it, Mr. Winchester?
Mr. Winchester could only nod in agreement, the familiar crimson blush of embarrassment flooding his cheeks. Dr. Richards returned the nod and placed his hand on his shoulder, a fatherly touch. He turned to look at one of the green-clad members behind him, and they got busy with something on a tray, revealing the flash of a vial for a split second.
Good. We need to be certain.
And then, with a well-rehearsed grimness,
okay, so Mr. Winchester...
He was cut off.
Call me Daniel. Mr. Winchester was my father.
Dr. Richards gave the shoulder a light squeeze.
Okay, Daniel. This is where the bad news comes.
He gave him a moment to prepare.
You have an air embolism, Daniel. And it's not in a good place. It's lodged in your pulmonary vein to the left of your heart.
The confusion on his face must have been evident.
It's an air bubble and it's about to enter your heart. If it does, Daniel, you will die.
One of the assistant technicians walked up behind Dr. Patel and handed him a small syringe. Dr. Richards continued.
I don't want you to worry, Daniel, because we are the best in the entire world at what we do, and we are going to save you. Part of the reason you're restrained is to keep you stable and to prevent the embolism from going any further.
Dr. Patel unstrapped Daniel's left arm and began to swab the veins with alcohol, showing no reaction to the track-marked runways.
What's that for?
Daniel asked weakly.
This,
said Dr. Patel this time,
is diamorphin. You've been experiencing extreme withdrawal symptoms, including delirium tremors. The DTs are pushing the embolism at an accelerated pace, so this will help with that. No!
Daniel actually managed a scream this time as he jerked his arm away.
Mr. Winchester!
Dr. Richard's voice was like that which would chastise a child.
We can worry about the addiction later. Right now, we are most concerned with saving your life and this.
He motioned towards the needle.
We'll stop your body from convulsing. No!
His free arm began flailing about, creating the best hard target possible.
You don't understand. You can't. Daniel,
Dr. Patel reassured.
You won't even be awake. There's a sedative that will put you right under. While you're out, we'll run a detox as well.
Dr. Richards managed to pluck his hand from the air and, with the help of another, held it in place.
When you wake up, you'll be as good as new, my friend. Your motives are noble, I'm sure. But I think you might be overreacting. No, you don't know what you're doing. You'll kill us all, you son of a bitch.
With every ounce of strength he could muster, he pulled at his arm, thinking the key to freedom somehow lay in reaching his other hand. A third assistant came to their aid. However, it was to no avail.
Please, don't do this. I can't have your death on my hands.
Pain gripped his chest, and for a split second, he thought he might actually die first, and everything would be okay. Dr. Patel slid the needle in. The warmth began to spread.
You fools. Now you've done it. She's gonna come now and you're all dead.
Warm and all over now, floating in a misty cloud, he said.
She's gonna kill you all.
His words starting to slur.
Please. He was losing them quickly. Please, run now.
Darkness crept in from his periphery, slowly eating the contents of the room from the margins in, just before being swept into the abyss. When there was just a pinpoint of visible light left, he saw her, towering over the man in the room, thick saliva dripping from her razor-sharp teeth. She was there. The last sight he captured was of her glowing red eyes, burning orbs floating in the darkness, and something else.
What was that?
Screams. As his mind sped away into the dream state of inebriated bliss, he tried to remember. When had this all started? At what point did his life become one of questionable reality? He knew, of course. It had to be at Wiki's, so very long ago. A different lifetime. The first time Daniel Winchester met Wilson Kane, he had said,
"Everybody just calls me Wiki, because I get this sticky icky."
At the time, it was the coolest nickname Daniel had ever heard. But then again, he was only 12 and thought sticky icky had something to do with kissing girls. Wiki was 16, and the older brother of one of Daniel's classmates. Since his father had deemed generally all his classmates to be inferior riffraff who would lead him down a bad path, it had been the first time he had ever gone to a friend's house to study before. Perhaps his father had been right, since, coincidentally, it became the first time he had ever tried marijuana as well. Their basement represented a new and exotic world, a veritable den of inequities, with its circular couch, projection television, and miniature refrigerator. The two boys were pretty open about their smoking habit, as the collection of bongs around the room would suggest, and Daniel could only surmise that their parents weren't around much or were more progressive than his parents were. Wiki saw himself as the patron saint of weed, a peacemaker, bringing people together. Moving at a slower pace than most people Daniel knew, there hadn't been a malicious bone in his body. Wiki was a shirt-off-his-back kind of guy, and in an effort to introduce his new friend, and possible customer, to Mary Jane, the right way opted out of utilizing any of the many bongs and rolled a large joint instead. It was just as well for Daniel, who found the glass tubes both intimidating and foreign. Anything that needed to employ such apparatus wasn't something one should be partaking in. Was it? The hookah, in particular, brought about shuddering images of gypsies in a Middle Eastern caravan, willing to hand over the Hellraiser box to any drunken fool. The joint was definitely the best, if least threatening, way to go. And Wiki was his guru guide into the new world of, "Whoa, dude." With Roger Waters crooning about loss, Daniel inhaled off the tightly rolled cigarette, warned to take a small hit to prevent potential coughing fits, but Daniel didn't give it much regard. He knew it all at that age anyway. In that instance, as he conceded later, he probably should have listened. He had never coughed so much and so hard. After 20 seconds, Daniel started watching the clock to see how long he would cough. Surely it couldn't be forever. After 5 minutes, he became extremely concerned and began to ask for his mummy. At the 7 minute mark, the coughing became laughter. After 10 minutes, he couldn't remember why he was looking at the clock anymore. Something about his hands, maybe? They seemed weird for some reason. Then hunger, or in the vernacular he would come to know, the munchies. He didn't know it was possible to be so hungry or that anything could taste as good as what the Kanes stuffed in their pantries. Having tasted Twinkies before, he didn't remember them tasting like that. A perfect concoction of sugar and heaven. Mountain Dew was a new fine wine, and Cheetos was caviar. Pierre, the chef at the club, could not compete. Needless to say, he fell in love with Mary Jane with the very first kiss. Daniel found himself at the Kane's house a lot. Really, a lot. So much so, he had to lie to his parents the majority of the time he went. It didn't become an issue until the grades started to slide and the curricular activities began to go by the wayside. The more he started checking out on the rest of his life, the more he found it necessary to lie about spending that time at the Kane's house. A month or so after his relationship with the Kane's brothers began, their parents decided to split up and Wiki's little brother moved to Philadelphia with his mum. Wiki stayed behind with his father who, Daniel found out later, was the one that supplied Wiki with the marijuana to sell to his friends. Hindsight would suggest that was probably a contributing factor in the divorce, but Daniel never found out. Wiki, who Daniel remained close with, never wanted to talk about it, and he never pressed. The day that everything changed came about a year later. Daniel, now 13, had blown off baseball practice to hang out with Wiki for the third straight day. Wiki had a new strain of marijuana that purported to be the strongest he had ever seen. It was a hybrid of Colombian Gold and Panama Red, but Daniel didn't know that. The description he got was, "It's the grass that will rip your ass." Daniel, who considered himself more than just a novice at this point, was doubtful. It was again a moment where his dubious nature led him awry. They made two crucial mistakes straight away. Only one joint was rolled, and the two of them decided to sit on the far end of the immensely comfortable circular couch. Daniel took the first hit and passed it across the table to Wiki, both of them having to stretch to the edge of the comfort in the process before exhaling. Daniel immediately recognized their mistakes the second the thick coil of smoke began to expel from his lungs. The moment that cloud formed before his face, he knew he wouldn't be able to reach across to that table again for another turn. Mobility seemed to have become a temporarily unachievable goal. His drink, his lit cigarette in the ashtray, they might as well have been on a desert island. There would be no grabbing them anytime soon. Led Zeppelin had been playing a moment before, but now? He couldn't place it to any mental representation of what music was, but rather having it register as a cacophony of jumbled noises that somewhere on a distant planet might have been known as musical notes. His body had become a vegetable, and his brain wasn't far behind. It was awesome. After intensely watching his cigarette burn down to the filter, he began to find some semblance of thought returning. And that really wouldn't do. He was ready for another hit. "Bring me that, my brother," he had asked, but Wiki was still struggling to find his own cognitive dissonance and had only looked at him with blissful bewilderment. Daniel managed to make his hand do the sarcastic version of sign language that is not officially ASL and that only assholes knew while saying, "Pass me the J," in a voice which was just as insensitive. Wiki was having nothing of it with the rolled joint still emitting a thin line of grey into the air, dangling from a hand which had been stuck on his knee for way too long to be comfortable. Daniel reached his hand out towards the joint, and having recently seen Empire Strike Back in the theater, imagined himself using the force to pull the joint from Wiki's hand. With his mind lost in a narcotic haze, something within his being truly felt, for that moment, that he could actually do it. Bringing the entirety of his concentration to full bore, harnessing any psychic energy there might be inside himself, he imagined the strip of paper wrapped around its sticky green casing, sliding from Wiki's fingers, gliding across the room and into his own outstretched hand. He had focused so hard, his head began to ache and his nose began to bleed. Over and over and over, the image played in his mind until it started to seem real. When Wiki jumped to his feet and screamed,
"Holy crap!"
at the top of his lungs, Daniel realized it had been. The stream of smoke still lingered across the table where the joint had floated by. There, with the joint now in Daniel's hand, the two of them stared wide-eyed and at each other. Then at the joint, then back to each other. It took a full minute before they erupted into screams of jubilation and laughter. If either one of them had a lick of sense, they would have been afraid, or at very least, cautious, but no. Theirs was a codependent relationship built on their ability to be enablers for each other's addictive behaviors. It was spent on pursuits which included destroying more brain cells than cultivating them. There was no time spent researching or investigating or just trying to figure shit out at all. Over the next year, there was just them trying to reach the state of inebriation required to recreate that amazing moment, day after day after day. Daniel nearly got kicked out of the academy in order to smoke marijuana and drink alcohol, for scientific purposes, of course. What they did discover was his telekinesis could be recreated, but only at the far end of a buzz. The level of intoxication necessary to repeat the ability basically reduced it to a parlor trick, never having the mental acuity to do more than move simple objects about. It wasn't a complete loss, however. In the tender years of puberty, it actually worked wonders with the opposite sex. Girls loved magic. It wasn't a lifestyle that could last forever, unfortunately, and Daniel knew it. With his father getting sick a year before he was due to graduate from the academy, he made a vow to start taking the studies more seriously. He didn't want his father to die before he was able to see Daniel become competent enough to handle the reins of the family's billion-dollar empire. So, having considered his wild oats sown, he put away the marijuana pipe for the last time and re-entered the world he had left behind. And this concludes the first chapter by Shannon Higdon, titled Vilification.
Well, what do you think? So far we have surprise doctors that care about our protagonist, a woman with red eyes who surely brings death and doom, and a trip down memory lane involving trips. Goodness. And that's just the first part. Stick with me tomorrow for part 2 of Shannon Higdon's story titled Vilification. Now on to shoutouts. Oh yeah. So I'm going to start with my top 10 listeners for the past 7 days. These are listeners that I can see on my SoundCloud stats that have listened to my episodes either back to back or in one hit, or just all around listening a lot and consistently. If I've missed you, let me know. So let's dig in. We have Sunblind, JS, Coop Dog, Dopesan, Bacon Vlogger, RC Attack Memes, Troy Shaw, AG Pollard 1, Dregs for Prez, and Quindon the Bunny Quincy. Thank you so much for listening. Next, I want to do some special mentions for those that reach out to me via email, send me comments about stories, retweet episodes, like my episodes, and are even longtime listeners. These are people who interact with me or the stories directly, regularly. And again, if I've missed anyone, please let me know. We have Star Eve 2099, Native Giggles, Rhonda Donlan, Troy Shaw, Quasar Bolt, Wee Woo Wee Woo, More Noir, Arkan Brother, Kyle Brandt, Doug Martin, I Own Cows, Santos De La Rosa, Gabriela Jimenez Carrillo, Lita Bird, and Tobias Wade. Thank you so much for your support. I am well aware that I have a brilliant set of listeners who probably do listen a lot, but aren't being picked up perhaps by SoundCloud stats. So, like I said, if I've missed you, let me know, and I'll do my due diligence to make sure I include you. Now I want to cover off the iTunes reviews that I've received recently. So, we have Consistent Awesomeness by Butterfly Mummy. I finally figured out how to write a review on here. LOL. Hey, me and you both, mate. Goodness. iTunes doesn't make it easy. Okay,
I digress. I start every workday morning by listening to his podcast. Can't start my day proper without it. His enthusiasm, quality narration, and excellent content picks always makes my day. Not only that, he truly appreciates his listeners and contributors. Thank you for your dedication and overall awesomeness, SFGT. Cheers. Celia, aka Hangry Like Da Wolf. Now I know Hangry Like Da Wolf because they're on my YouTube commenter list as well. So thank you so much for being awesome and leaving that iTunes review. Cheers, mate. Awesome podcast by Tani Yuska. Great stories. I like that there is a mix of stories. But to tell the truth, I like the true stories myself. I listen every day at work. I tried listening at home, but had to stop because they freaked me out. That's exactly what I'm going for. I'm alone sans kids every other week, and my imagination already goes crazy. When I'm home alone, I don't need to feed it any extra. Great job on the stories. I'm in the episode 180s, keep them coming, and I'm definitely not gonna stop. Thank you so much for this awesome review, Tani Yuska, and have a good one. Love the Show by Jams for Fun. That's a good name. Definitely my top podcast. Nothing like a daily dose of creep, the macabre, and if I'm really lucky, that little tingle of fear. Not to mention that voice is amazing. Love that accent. What accent? Perfect for weaving tales to terror and woe. Cheers, mate. Perfect for Daily Binges by Zach Mayer 101. Love listening to the creepy short stories. Keep up the good work. Wouldn't mind a few stories that are a little more explicit for us adult listeners looking for a more intense scare. Well, that is a really good point. I'm going to do some hunting for some more explicit and maybe more adult-orientated stories. We'll see how we go, buddy. Cheers, mate. New Find by Dopen Rose. Stories are fantastic. Basic narration is good. Cadence is odd, as if it's the first reading with no periods. Binged for 3 hours. Okay, wow. Thank you so much, Dopen Rose. And you hit the nail on the head, buddy. Because most of my stories are first readings, and you got a good ear. Cheers, mate. Good by Mr. Bulldog 1070. And they've written, it's good. Well, I'm glad you like it. Cheers, buddy. Awesome by Twisted Nerves. Now that's a cool name. Been listening to these all day while I play games. Ah, I know how that feels. I often listen to other podcasts whilst I play games. Cheers, mate. Awfully good. They put a bracket around L-Y and good. By K. Donlan 77. I stumbled across SFGT last week looking for a quick horror fix until my regular podcast updated with a new episode. Now I'm subscribed. I love the diversity of the stories and how the show encourages authors and writers of all levels of experience to contribute. Brilliant, I love hearing that. That's exactly what I'm trying to do as well. This podcast gives listeners a little bit of everything and doesn't get stale. The old-time radio episodes are my favourites, but the Australian accent of that podcaster makes them all enjoyable. Try it, if you ain't chicken. Rhonda Donlan. Thank you so much, Rhonda. What a lovely review. And lastly, some special YouTubers that comment, contribute, and generally say hi on this channel that I'd love to mention. Now, deep breath on this one, folks. There is a lot, so bear with me, and I cherish every single one of you. That's exactly why I do these shoutouts. And if I miss you, please let me know via email. That email is storiesfablesghostlytales@gmail.com. I always do my best to thank you awesome listeners. Okay, let's get to it. In no particular order. Jeffrey Natalny, Matthew J. Bauer, Sean Tomac, Shadow Dragon 2569, 90s DR Girl, Dennis Fisher, Black Metal Nazgul, Lisa Dasher, Ivory Cole, Christian Burrows, The Red Brigade 621, Michael Sorbello, Brianna Garin, Foxy Paws, Leslie Foster, Mammy Kitten, Coag Music, Ashley Pendorf, Tom Keithley, Divisanula, Dark Angel, Arkan Brother, Bexy Boo, Merrick Richelieu, No Entity 101, Wanali Romero, Jerry Roletta, Sohab Malik, JCK, Anita Simaganis, Crow, Hangry Like the Wolf, Tammy Jean, Samara Balcom, Case Lee, Thomas Flores, Hannah Catherine Carlton, Marlene Burrows, Elena Strom, Dark Shiki, Lindsay Baker, Lacey McDuffie, Pink Champagne, Chris Smith, Gaia Zenovia, and Kyle Brandt. And I think that will do for now. And again, do not be disappointed if I've missed you. I've either included you in the previous shoutouts, or I've missed you in this one. But again, let me know. I'll be doing another shoutout another time, covering off my newest subscribers on YouTube, plus latest followers on SoundCloud. And by the way, if you want to listen to me easily on your phone, pick up a podcasting app. You can listen to me on iTunes for free, and you can also listen to me on Podcast Addict, Radio Republic, Stitcher, TuneIn, or any other podcasting app for that matter. Because I use Android, my advice would be to hop onto Google Play and download Podcast Addict, or Radio Republic, or any of those that I just mentioned, because it makes life a lot easier in finding podcasts like mine, as well as other podcasts. And be sure, if you get a chance, to subscribe, because that would be fantastic. And speaking of fantastic, have a fantastic night, and till next time.